talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Good Monday to everybody. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Weather looks great today. I don't know if we're going to get any peanuts done or not. The humidity needs to come down a little bit, but maybe it will. We got a little bit done yesterday. Chad finished up on the pivot over there close to my house. I got the hay baled up. We got everything moved last night, so we'll be ready to rock and roll this afternoon. Forecast, I'll have for you later on in the show, the Long Ranger. It just looks like typical Oklahoma weather. Warm one day, no wind the next day, cold the next day. Got down to, Saturday morning, 27 degrees at my house. It was pretty frosty. Anyway, and I'm looking at the Mesonet right now, the state of Oklahoma, the temperature's up. There's 30 degrees difference between the Panhandle, Oklahoma, and southeastern Oklahoma. Look who's 80. Clayton, Oklahoma, southeastern Oklahoma, 80 degrees. Coolest in the state right now is Boise City at 50, so that just shows you the difference in Oklahoma. 61 at Cheyenne, 64 at Hollis, 60 at Hobart, 60 at Altus, 60 at Sealing, 61 at Putnam, home of B&L Red Angus, 62 at the home of the great, the one and only Lord Campbell at Arnett, 58 at Woodward, 57 at Buffalo. So it's just wonderful temperatures. Nice morning out there. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm sitting in this chair this morning, and I know Sean sits in this chair a little bit, so my hand is just a little smaller than his, but I'm sore. Sandy and I are moving, and I had a young man from the Sayre football team come out and help me yesterday for 3 or 4 hours move the big stuff. I'm just not gonna lie, moving it's just a bad deal. That's all I can tell you. John Deere gun safe that I have, that one of them, about 8-hour lunch. It was all the us. We thought we was going to have to get the hydraulics out on the Dewey's bed on the back of my truck, but we finally got it in the trailer, and it's easier to unload than load, but man, those things are heavy duty. Don't get me wrong, there were no guns in there, so don't even come up with that comment. There was no guns in there today. Well, I want to welcome my new sponsor, my hat sponsor for today. Got a new one. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is now sponsor of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cat Power on Monday. So welcome, OCA, to the show. I'll have more on them coming up here later. Appreciate you sponsoring the show on Mondays for me wearing the cap. You're watching on Facebook, I got their cap on today. You're watching online on KCOFM.com, you can see it on there. Lori brought me two really nice hats, so I'm ecstatically happy. How's that? Anyway, we got lots of things going on today. Tomorrow, big day. It's election day. Please go out and vote. Your vote does count. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or X. It doesn't matter. Please go out and vote because your vote does count. And I got some stuff coming up on what might happen with the USDA later on in the show. Also this week, one a day, I'm going to have a veteran that's involved in agriculture on the show for one segment each day, because coming up Friday is Veterans Day. It's a very important day for a lot of people, veterans, whether combat or non-combat. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran in the military, your job was the same. It's not that big a deal. I'm a veteran myself. I'm very partial to veterans. They're good people, and they Hey, they're the reason why you guys are sitting out there listening to me on the radio today. Other than that, your radio might be controlled by the government. You're not going to get to hear all the good stuff we get to talk about in the agriculture world today. Well, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Wheat futures were lower, while corn and soybeans were a little changed as the overnight session at recent precipitation in parts of the U.S. winter wheat belt boosts soil moisture. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain in a wide stretch of land from Wisconsin to northern Oklahoma in the past week. Rain fell over the weekend in some areas of the eastern Midwest, where soft red winter wheat is growing, stretching into northern Oklahoma. Still, prices are being underpinned as much as southwestern Oklahoma, southeastern Colorado, and the western parts of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles have seen little or no rain in the past 7 days. Only 28% of the U.S. winter crop for wheat was rated good or excellent last week, and that's down from 45% this time last year. About 87% of the crop was planted at the beginning of last week, almost on par with the prior 5-year average of 85%. That could be 86% if I'd get off peanut harvest and get mine planted. But anyway, one more percent and I'll be there. 62% has emerged, behind the normal 66% for this time of the year. USDA is scheduled to release its weekly crop progress this afternoon. Investors also may be squaring positions ahead of Wednesday's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates report from the USDA. The crop production and world agriculture production reports are due this week. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 5 pennies to $8.42¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 3.5 pennies to $9.49¾ a bushel. Corn for December delivery was down 1¼ to $6.79¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 2.5 pennies to $14.59½ a bushel. Soy meal rose 50 cents to $420.90 a short ton, while soybean oil gained 17 pennies to $77.34 a pound. Speculators raised their net long position bets on higher prices in corn and beans last week, according to the data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net 261,512 corn future contracts in 7 days that ended on November 1st. That's up quite a bit from the week before, 248,000. Investors also held 102,297 soybean future contracts, up from 75,535 a week earlier. So that's pretty good. In wheat, speculators held a net 23,089 hard red winter wheat contracts, and that's down from 24,467 contracts the week before. Weather across our farming area in the Midwest and the Southern Plains, dry weather is camped over parts of Dakotas and Nebraska. Strong winds and low humidity make the dangerous conditions, according to the National Weather Service. Red flag warnings have been issued from noon to 6 o'clock today for parts of southern South Dakota. Winds will be sustained at 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40, with a humidity as low as 18%. Meanwhile, in western Nebraska, a high wind warning is in effect this morning as gusts up to 60 miles an hour are in the forecast. Further south, there's a slight chance for rain in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle tonight and in tomorrow, though the odds of severe weather are really low. I don't know if you guys got a chance to look at that drought map from last week that came out on the 1st. Looks like northern Oklahoma, Kansas, you guys got it pretty rough. I mean, right along that state line, it's all in a D4 from the Panhandle all the way over to the Missouri state line. So hopefully some of these rains that they got forecast coming into every 3 or 4 days, finally some of it will get it. And I've noticed the red in Oklahoma expanded a little bit. The D4 is still quite a bit. I don't know if that's 10 or 15% of Oklahoma's in the D4, but that red down there in southwestern Oklahoma just keeps hanging in there. And the one thing I am noticing that I've noticed over the trend over the last month, it was here about a month ago, the Mississippi River basically west was some sort of drought was going on, whether it was a D1 or D4. But I've noticed the drought has expanded into most of eastern the United States, all except for like Pennsylvania, the northeastern corner up there, and the southern tips of Florida. The rest of the nation is in some sort of drought. So hopefully the old El Nino or El Nino or whichever one it is will break and we can get back to getting some normal rainfall around the United States, because we're not, but the severe of it is actually Oklahoma and Kansas right now, a little bit out there in California. And anyway, we'll see what goes on with that. Well, my new CAP sponsor for the day, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, was officially formed in 1953 when several county organizations recognized a need to unite to address a few key issues: growth of cattle theft, legislation affecting the industry, animal disease, declining prices, and drought. Nearly 70 years later, the OCA is still the trusted voice of Oklahoma cattle industry, protecting and empowering today to serve tomorrow. So to find out more about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, go to www.okcattlemen.org. Check it out. Great organization. They had a great time at the Davis Ranch last weekend. I think 75 people attended, so that's great for a fall gathering. And we got another one coming up next week, and I'll cover that coming up later in the show. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk.
First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Good afternoon to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Report for Monday, October 31st. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,875 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 470 brought 195. 8 at 604 brought 183. 5 at 614 brought 173. 9 at 626 brought 176. 14 at 638 brought 167.75. 8 at 708 brought 180. 99 at 749 brought 183.50. 4 head of heifers at 421 brought 180. 7 at 461 brought 165. 9 at 497 brought 168. 71 at 559 brought 174. 8 at 581 brought 172. 10 at 658 brought 158.50. 3 at 987 brought 139.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 85. Butcher bulls brought 71.50 to 105. Bred cows were 775 to 1100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. Currently at the Elk City Mezzanette, it is 63 degrees. The winds are out of the east-northeast at 7 miles an hour. Humidity is 60%. Hey, might be thrashing some peanuts here in a little bit. The winds are out of the east-northeast, 7 miles an hour. Gust up to 12, not bad. Up there in northwestern Oklahoma, Woodward, it'll come up. There she is. And it's reverted back to Clinton, Sherman Airport. There we go. 57 degrees at Woodward. The winds are out of the east up there at 7 miles an hour with a humidity of 55. I will have your long ranger forecast coming up for you. I'm just going to warn you right now. Wednesday night and Thursday, do not wear any skirts or dresses while you're working cattle. It won't be pretty. So anyway, don't do it. The wind is coming, and it'll be from the north. So anyway, get ready, and it's going to cool down also. All right, let's see what we got going on here. Oh, I wanted to go over just what the current markets are on the futures right now. Corn for December, $6.79. March, $6.85. Soybeans, $14.42 for November. January's $14.52. Soybean meal for December, $416.60. A short ton. January's $410.30, March is $401.80. Soybean oil, December $77.32, January $74.89, March soybean oil $72.76. Hard red winter wheat in the green big time today. December $9.65, March $9.62. Oats in the red, $3.85 a bushel for December, March $3.85 also. Live cattle for December, $152.65, February $154.82, April $158.25, June $153.97, feeder cattle, November $177.77. Might need to buy some cattle today with all those sevens going on there. The four sevens, how's that? Me, a nice name for a good ranch. January $179.42, lean hogs, December $85.67, February $88.10. April $93.62. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on today, right now over there on the I-40. I heard they had a really strong sale Friday at Elk City. Get the results back from Brandon when the Western Oklahoma one is done tonight. He either texts me at 8:30 or he'll text me at 2:00 in the morning. So whenever it gets done, but he never forgets me. Anyway, cotton prices, December, looking better than they have been in the last month. 86 cents a pound for December. March is 85 cents a pound. So anyway, the cotton market is looking better. Let's check out a few things before we go to break here in a little bit. The Texas and Oklahoma weekly livestock auction summaries for last week. Let's start out with Texas. Compared to last week, steer and heifer calves sold $2 to $10 higher. Yearlings were mostly steady. Trade was fairly active on good demand. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $3 higher. Supply included 84% feeder cattle, 13% slaughter cattle, and 4% replacement. In Texas, there was almost 6,000 head sold there compared to 58 the week before. 6,600 was sold last year. Let's check out some of what the prices are in Texas. Let's start with some 400-pounders. They were 75, 420-pounders. We're bringing anywhere from 218 to 239. 232.07 was the average. And let's look at some unwinged 572-pounders, 178, but some 577 winged ones brought $1.96. So that's quite a bit of difference there. All right, let's see. 600-pounders in Texas, big group, weighed 678, winged 176, unwinged 673-pounders, 673-pounders. Let me rephrase that. That's Jim Bonix, if you haven't figured that out yet. Now, after a year at the show, 166, approximately $10 per 100-weight difference. Then we get down here to some 900-pounders, and they had a big group come in there weighing 945, brought $1.71. That's pretty good. Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers $1 to $3 higher. Feeder heifers mostly steady. Demand good for the limited numbers of feeder cattle. Steer calves $5 to $15 higher. Heifer calves $2 to $4 higher. Demand was good and improved for calves as rain moved across the state. More rain is expected, but mainly for the eastern side of the state. Drought conditions continues for most of the state, especially up north. Slaughter cows were $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter bulls sold $2 higher. Demand good for cows as these numbers begin to get somewhat lighter. 33,722 heads sold in Oklahoma last week compared to 29,000 the week before and 29,000 the year ago last week. All right, let's check out what the steers selling for Oklahoma. They got, don't give me a big range here, but let's go with the 300-pounders. Some unwinged 334-pounders brought up to 218. Some winged ones brought up to 230 that weighed 322. Some value added for some 310-pounders brought 238. And then some fancy ones weighing 375 was bringing up to 250. Let's get some 400-pounders here. We had some 423-pound fancy, 232, 419 unwinged up to 208. And we had some value added on some 423, 235. And let's scroll on down here. There, we got one set, 729 head that averaged 527 was bringing up to 218 with $194 being the top end of that. How about that? Not too bad. Marcus Stout. I think it is. Tomorrow, Jerry Nine will be having his weekly bull and cow sale at Woodward. And then Mr. Rex Fleming will be having his at Hobart at the Hobart Stockyards come Wednesday. And then back to Woodward for their calf sale Thursday. And then Elk City Livestock Auction Friday, Hollis Saturday. You guys, there's no reason why you can't sell your cows local from where you live. No matter how, what happens, you just sell them local. Keep the money local is all I can say. Anyway, what else we got? I think that's it for right now. Oh, I got something right now. I want to get it before I plumb not remember. If you are a beef cattle client of Stockman's Vet Clinic or all area breed beef cattle producers, you're invited to an information meeting for cattlemen sponsored by Multiman and Gen X, hosted by Stockman's Vet Clinic this Thursday evening at 6:30 at Carnegie Hall. Barbecue dinner provided. Please RSVP by Tuesday to Stockman's Vet Clinic at 580-225-0200. They hope to see you there. Again, this will be Thursday and they at 6:30, but they need you to RSVP. And if you don't show up in the RSVP, let me know, because I'll take your meal home with me. Times are hard around the Clark House, and I can eat mine there, and then I'll take yours home with me and have it for breakfast or lunch the next day. Barbecue dinner for breakfast is okay. Don't worry. Don't you guys go, ooh. No, ain't gonna happen. Anyway, we got lots coming up. The next segment, I'm gonna have a U.S. military veteran from southwestern Oklahoma on the show with me. So you guys all stand by, and I'll be back in just a minute.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Barber Ice & Ford of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at BarberIceAndFord.net.
Good afternoon, noble stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 28th. 1,367 head were sold, 5 head of steers at 306 brought 212, 7 at 517 brought 179, 3 at 525 brought 180, 10 at 579 brought 180, 11 at 729 brought 159.75, 7 at 779 brought 172.50, 3 at 923 brought 122.50, 8 head of heifers at 344 brought 193, 6 at 496 brought 158, 7 at 507 brought 154, 9 at 526 brought 155, 23 at 577 brought 146.75, 11 at 583 brought 144, 10 at 607 brought 148, butcher cows were 21 to 78, butcher bulls brought 65 to 104, bred cows were 750 to 1260, pairs brought 850 to 1660. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Sparkly and shiny and bold and bright. And this holiday season, Ulta Beauty has something for everyone on your list, even you. Because our kind of holiday is you having your kind of holiday with incredible must-haves like the Dyson hair dryer in a new limited edition blue, shimmery palettes from Morphe and Tarte, plus fragrances from Ariana Grande and more. So revel in that holiday bliss. Head to your local Ulta Beauty or buy online and pick up in store. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Howdy, friends and neighbors. This is Monty Tucker from Sweetwater asking you to vote for my friend Kevin Stitt for governor. Stitt has spent the last 4 years protecting my family's way of life and standing up for rural Oklahoma. Special interest groups are spinning lies that he will hurt our rural schools, and that's just not true. I'm going to vote for the candidate that has proven he's with us the last 4 years and not the candidate who might be. Vote Kevin Stitt on November 8th, and don't forget, a vote for Kevin Stitt is a vote for Blaine Arthur.
Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee. Authorized and paid for by Oklahomans for a Connected Future.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. Here's your Long Ranger for Northwestern Oklahoma, Southern Kansas, Northeastern Texas Panhandle, the Oklahoma Panhandle, just everybody up there, listen up. Currently it's 57 degrees, high today 62, 20%, 30% chance of rain tonight, patchy fog. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers and patchy fog, then mostly cloudy. High of 73, Wednesday 75, Thursday 75, and bam, Veterans Day. You drop 25 degrees. Might even get a freeze Thursday night at 32 degrees. 54 a high this coming Friday on Veterans Day. Rural areas wave the flag proudly all year, but the colors shine extra brightly around Memorial Day, Flag Day, the 4th of July, and Veterans Day. 16% of the U.S. population is from rural America, yet 40% of the U.S. military is from those same rural areas. Rural residents will find any excuse to proudly display the flag. Wrapping up harvest is certainly one of them. It's not uncommon to spot a barn with an American flag painted across the side. Need a cup of sugar, a helping hand, a jump from your pickup truck, or some assistance wrangling cattle back into the pasture? Your trusty neighbor will be there in a flash. What more American than that? What is more American than that? Baking isn't a pastime or a hobby in rural America. It's a patriotic tradition carried through by the next generation, empowering organizations like the 4-H and the FFA. You won't see floats nearly as elaborate or anything from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but you will see a common theme from floats across the countryside. Red, white, and blue, overload of flags, and more candy than your mom will ever let you consume. Fireworks display in small towns are anything but small. It may take no nations from local residents or even teaming up with a neighboring town, but the show will go on and it will be spectacular in that fact. And I'm telling you, it's the truth. Sayre, Elk City, Burns Flat, the lake up there at Foss, any of those, and even some ranchers and farmers put on a pretty good display of fireworks, but it just shows you how patriotic America is. With me on the phone right now is Mr. Mike Schmidt. He's from southwestern Oklahoma, farm, Army National Guard, now part-time USDA crop adjuster, and I just found out he might have, at one time or another, he might have been a John Deere mechanic. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I was a parts man.
Oh, he's the parts man? Well, my bad. I was wrong. Well, welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
And you're an avid listener of the show, and where do you reside at right now?
I live in Hobart, Oklahoma.
Hobart, Oklahoma. And you did tell me one thing that I got to be careful when I talk about. You said you was in the National Guard with Mike Clark from Greer County. I'm not going to hold that against you.
Okay.
And I'm not kin to Mike, by the way.
Well.
Anyway, so you were raised on the farm, and before you went into the National Guard, what'd you do when you was in the National Guard?
Oh, I was a radio technician.
And was that out of Greer County, I'm guessing?
It's Kiowa County.
Oh, it's Kiowa County. Okay, there at Hobart, at the
Armory.
Yeah. Yeah, and that armory is closed right now, if I believe right. A lot of armories are closed anymore.
A lot of them are closed.
Yeah, because when I first was in the National Guard, they were our sister. Hobart was for Charlie Patterson. And I believe that's right. Yeah, they was. Because I think first sergeant there at Hobart was Carter. First Sergeant Carter?
Yeah, Sergeant Carter, yeah.
Yep, and then one of my friends that I went around traveling all over the United States on the M16 and the M60 machine gun team, we were the Oklahoma National Guard teams for that out of Hobart and Elk City, was Jeff Christianberry. And I'm just glad they only made one of him, by the way. And I think, if I remember right, Sergeant Ellis was down there with First Sergeant Carter also.
Sergeant Ellis was actually kind of the original. He was here in 1969 when I got here.
I got you.
J.B. Ellis and his son was in also. Max Ellis, I can't remember.
Well,
J.B. was here early on.
Yeah, I remember though. It's a small world. Mike, what's agriculture and military? What's your thoughts on those two subjects there?
Well, military is the reason you and I are here and free and vote and say what we want to say, and agriculture feeds us.
Right.
And I like to promote agriculture in southwest Oklahoma as much as I can.
Well, western Oklahoma, especially southwestern Oklahoma, it's a big agriculture area. Cotton, peanuts, alfalfa, wheat, all kind of Milo, it's everything. It's got it going on.
That's right. Cattle.
Cattle. Yeah, who could forget about the cows? I'm pretty sure everybody's got one cow on their farm. So, for sure.
That's my favorite part of it.
Did you take anything to the National Guard with you from agriculture, or did you bring anything back from the military to the agriculture with you?
I like the fact that I brought some military back and got some discipline and learned some values that way.
Are you saying ranch and farm boys are wild? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not anymore. They might have been
I told you I wouldn't throw you under the bus. I didn't mean to do that. It came naturally.
Where were you in the guard at Elk City?
Yeah, I was in the guard at Elk City, the 171. And then we went to Desert Storm with the 158 out of Duncan in Chickasha. And I come back and I moved to Kansas. And they didn't have an artillery reserve unit up there. So I got out after basically 12 years. Spent some time in there. Got out as a E6, and it was a learning curve. Yes, I think you're absolutely right about discipline. They put it in you, because a lot of people think, you know, especially back in the 60s and the 70s, everybody thought the National Guard, and probably some of it went on, but in the 60s and 70s, it was go to the armory, play cards, and do this and do that. But when President Reagan became president, he changed that role. And the reserves have just as much, whether it's National Guard or Army Reserves, Navy Reserves, or whatever, they have a very important role in our military today.
Big, I think that's right.
Big time. And when I went to boot camp, the National Guard actually prepared me. I went to regular boot camp. But my problem was, when I went to boot camp, Rambo just come out, the movie. And when you're sitting in there on your only night off on leave from basic training and watching Rambo, and the National Guard gets after him, and all those regular Army guys sitting there next to me, I heard about it for weeks. So they had to get back to the pharmacy to, you know, stuff like that. It was pretty fun. You're a part-time USDA crop adjuster right now, and it's been a rough year for farmers, hadn't it?
It's been bad. I worked a lot of insurance claims, and kind of going back now and following up. And I had a rye claim just south of Carter, and I won't mention his name, but he said he planted that rye, and for 6 months he only got 2,200 of rain on it.
Oh, I believe it.
There's no way we failed it, you know, but it's been bad out here for drought.
Yes, it's been terrible, and some spots have got some rain, and some spots hadn't, but, you know, overall it's not been the greatest, because you can see, you know, even talking to some of my friends up north and my father-in-law up there around, my brain just went dead. Billings and Garber up in that area. There, I got her back. I got my brain back to function. You know, they either, their corn up there, they either chopped it up for feed or baled it up. Soybeans, they baled them up. You know, it's been a bad year for farming for Texas Panhandle and all Oklahoma, basically.
We've had a lot of cotton acres fail down here and shredded and plowed it. Is not going to have much of a cotton crop to kind of walk in.
Yeah, the few times in the last month I've drove through Kiowa County, headed to Hobart or around in that area, cotton don't look good.
No, it doesn't. But the gym out here don't have much cotton on the yard.
But I know some people are harvesting it, but it's been one of those deals. Have you got one memory you want to share with everybody from the military?
We trained to go to Vietnam, and I didn't go, but anyway, I felt for those guys that went, and I was proud to be with them, and I knew that they went over there and fought for our country.
Yeah, Vietnam seems to be one of those wars that everybody wants to forget about, but there's no way we're going to forget about it. And when we come home from Desert Storm, we were on a 747 jumbo jet, the whole battalion from Altus, Chickasha, Duncan, Lawton, everybody was on that plane. And I might be wrong about my numbers, but I'm going to go ahead and go. There was like over 125 of those soldiers that were on that plane with me, Vietnam vets. And when we landed at Altus on that big plane, there was thousands of people. And that's no joke. It wasn't no hundreds. It was thousands of people waiting on us there to land. And when we got off that plane, we let the Vietnam vets off first. They finally got that hero's welcome, if you want to call it, home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I imagine they were your mentors.
Yeah, we had lots of, Desert Storm was no Vietnam. I mean, it was, and what I mean by, I'm talking about geographics, the jungle in Vietnam, desert in Saudi and Iraq and Kuwait, and, but experience, common sense from those Vietnam vets that we had there with us, I got stories that I could go on forever about some of the stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going to have one of those dual Vietnam vet and Desert Storm veterans on the show here come Wednesday, and I'm sure I'll get he's probably dreading it because I know what he did over there. So battery's going bad on vehicles, nowadays. Just go get a new one. We're over there in the middle of the desert. You got to make your own power juice, your own acid. Well, he could do it. And I don't think the normal, everyday guy could have done that back then without having a little bit of common sense experience from either being in Vietnam or raised on the ranch or whatever. So anyway, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. And
thank you, sir.
And thank you for doing this again. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right. There's one, the first one of five that I'm going to have on this week. It's going to be a great week to talk to veterans. And we're going to have one from up north, the Buffalo Feed Yard Feeders. He's going to be on with me tomorrow. And Wednesday, I'm going to have a Roger Mills veteran on with me. Thursday is questionable. I think I'll have a surprise for you and for the veterans. And then Veterans Day will be this Friday. But everybody, please go out and vote tomorrow. Appreciate it. It's your right to vote, and your vote does count. And we'd appreciate it if everybody did go out and vote tomorrow. I'll be right back after this.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, November 1st, we sold 1,004 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November 3rd, we sold 3,512 calves and feeders for a total of 4,516 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 72 to 84 and a half. Then cows brought 40 to 67, with the bulls bringing 86 to 94.50. 3 to 5 year old open cows to breed bring 73 to 103, with their 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,100 to 1,350. 9 and older bred cows, 800 to 900, and our 2-to-8-year-old pairs, 1,235 to 1,400. On our steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 210 to 228, 4 to 450, 194 to 220, 5 to 550, 182 and a half to 218, with our 6 to 650 steers, 155 to 185, 7 to 750, 170 to 179 and a quarter, 8 to 850 steers, 170 to 173, and 850 to 9 weight steers, 174 to 175.50. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heavers, 199 to 208, 4 to 450, 155 to 184, 5 to 550, 151 to 169, 6 to 650 heifers, 150 to 174 and a half, 7 to 750, 164 and a half to 166, 8 to 850, 159 to 165.75. Very good market. Feeders steady to 5 higher, calves up to 7 higher. November the 15th, in 2 weeks, we will have a dispersal of 150 bred cows and pairs, mostly black, 50 calves on the ground so far. They're 4 to 6 years old. Remember, we work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Eddie is a super nice guy. He's the driver for CTC, the driver who comes out here to Elk City. And he knows me by name, I know him by name, and he comes in and he's getting my stuff, he's taking care of me. I don't have to worry about anything. I know when he comes at the same time every week on that same day, and it's just like clockwork. Especially with the rug service, I don't have to worry about the rug stinking. Also with the mops, I don't have to worry about there being a smell. They take care of those type of things and their facility over there. They can kill all the germs. They can take care of all the bacteria that's in there. I don't have to worry about that doing it in a washer machine here. I'm Julie Brewer, director of the Elk City Convention Center, and I'm glad that we switched to CTC.
Keep your business looking great with CTC in Clinton. Online, it's ctc-corp.net.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Let's check out the forecast for, where did my mezzanette go? Oh my gosh, come on back on here. There we go. I got her back. Let's check out your southwestern Oklahoma, Eastern Texas Panhandle, Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, currently it's 65 degrees. We're already above what was projected of 63. Humidity is 59. The winds are out of the east northeast at 7 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 12. Tonight, 30% chance of rain showers. Tomorrow, 72, cloudy, foggy, everything. Don't look great tomorrow for peanut harvest. Maybe so. Depends on the wind. And if it's dry, but if it's foggy, it's not going to be too wet. Wednesday, very breezy, 74 for a high. The winds will be out of the south from 16 to 24 mile an hour with gusts up to 35 miles an hour. Wednesday night, Same thing, 59 for a low. Thursday, breezy. Winds kick up even more. Winds will be out of the south to southwest, 24 miles an hour with gusts up 35 and 40 miles an hour Thursday. Thursday night, the winds shift out of the to the west, 34 for a low. Veterans Day, mostly sunny, 51 for a high. Winds out of the north, 18 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 25. So it's going to be a little chilly maybe on that day. All right. I couldn't help it. It reminded me of an incident that happened south of Canute down there on 152 headed towards Dill City. Back when I was in the oil field, there was a seismograph crew coming across there, and I guess they didn't have permission to be on that land. Well, the landowner was a big old boy, and I'm talking big guy. Just looked at you, scared him. Anyway, he scared them off their property. They left their truck. Anyway, well, you guys have been hearing about the carbon dioxide pipeline that's going into Iowa from some farms over to ethanol plants. Well, check this out. A land surveyor for the Summit Carbon Solutions, Summit's the one putting in the pipeline, faces a criminal trial in December for allegedly trespassing on land in northwest Iowa that is part of the company's proposed carbon dioxide pipeline route. State law allows the land surveys without the threat of a trespassing charge after hazardous liquid pipeline companies hold informational meetings about their projects and they send notice to landowners. The surveys are meant to help determine the path and the depth of the potential pipelines. For right now, we're on the side of the farmer because I don't know who has been notified and who hasn't, and it's their property, said Dickerson County Sheriff Craig Boland. If you've been asked to leave, you're supposed to leave. Otherwise, it's trespassing. The criminal charges stem from an attempt to survey farmland east of Spirit Lake in August, court records show. Jeff Jones, a nephew of the landowner, has farmed the ground for decades. He raises crops and cattle with his two adult sons. Jones worries that the pipeline, which will cut about a mile-long path through that property, will disrupt the drainage tile in the fields and hamper crop yields. But that's not the main issue. I'm more upset, he said, that they think they can do whatever they want and take whatever they want. The threat of eminent domain looms for skags of landowners across the state. Summit seeks to build about 680 miles of pipe in the northwestern half of the state that will transport captured carbon away from the ethanol plants. Two other companies want to build similar pipelines. It's possible that unwilling landowners will be forced to grant the company easements to install and maintain the pipelines, Summit has said in its voluntary easement agreements for about half of its route. The trespassing charge. Summit first sought to survey the Dickerson County land in March, said Jones, the farmer. He told the surveyor to leave, and he would be seeking trespassing charges if the company agents returned. Well, guess what? They returned. Bad deal. Jones and the landowner have rejected all mailed notices of the survey sent by Summit. On August 24th, a team of five agents were preparing to survey the land when Jones's father spotted them and approached them. He called Jones, who was about 6 miles away. Jones said he drove to the site and passed four of the surveyors, who he said were hastily departing in vehicles. He called the sheriff's office. In my mind, if them four were fleeing like that, that tells me they knew they were in the wrong. One remained, Stephen James Larson, 28, of Arlington, South Dakota. He was charged with misdemeanor trespassing, which is punishable by a $354 fine. Jones said Larson declined to reveal the names of his fellow surveyors when a deputy sheriff asked. Larson's trial has been delayed and is now set for December 8th, according to court records. No laws were broken, and we fully expect these charges will be dismissed, according to a spokesman for Summit. Ryan said the company followed the procedure for surveys as prescribed by state law and left the property when asked. To be 100% clear, there is no trespass involved in this situation. The DA for Dickerson Counties, which is prosecuting the criminal charge, did not respond to a request for comment. Summit has three pending lawsuits against other landowners who refuse to allow the company to survey their land in northern Iowa. Iowa laws allows for court order injunctions to conduct the surveys without the landowners. The landowners in these pending cases, along with those who have been sued by another pipeline company, are arguing the forced surveys infringe on their constitutional protected property rights. And I agree with them 100%. So anyway, interesting. You never know what's going to happen out there, but I can tell you one thing. My property is my property, and you guys can agree with that. And it can get hairy out there sometime. You guys, hope you enjoyed today. Have a great day. I guess I'm going to go fix a hot wire real quick. Cattle broke into the haylot. And then I guess I'll change clothes and head to the peanut field. You guys have a great day. This is Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.